This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Time for your Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Jake Miller.
Number 1, SEC schedules were announced yesterday with one major change to the ball schedule. Tennessee will no longer play Army and instead will play Akron to replace that game.
The Zips.
So it's, we open the season with Ball State. Week 2 is
at Pitt.
At Pitt, oh, man, that's going to be tough.
Akron comes here, and then we play UT Martin, like, later on down
the
schedule.
Yeah, UT Martin.
It's basically a replay of this year. Sorry about that. This year's boring schedule to start the year.
The schedule's so boring, Bear's about to fall asleep. You're in the top 4 at 4.
I wasn't falling asleep. I was stretching. Sorry.
I think that, again, that – Alabama, LSU, it just seems lopsided from Tennessee's perspective. Now, again, who knows what LSU is going to be next year? It feels like they are in a state of flux right now. But between that and it's these stupid FCS games, man, why are we playing UT Martin? Nobody wants to see that. And I don't care if we do take a big step forward next year. You won't have 70,000 people to see that ball game. I think it's later in the year, right? In November?
It's like late October, early November.
I mean, just nobody wants to see that. So hopefully, look, college football is changing so much, and they've got to get rid of these non-competitive games. And I know Jacksonville State beat Florida State. That never happens.
That's a rarity.
It's less than 1% of the times. It's not worth it just to get those extremely rare upsets to schedule these games. These should be games against at least group of five opponents, if not power five opponents.
Well, it's like, yeah, Georgia.
I mean, if we're going to play FCS opponents, we should be playing an FCS game at the end of spring practice.
I'm so glad you've finally come around on that.
Hell, you were wanting us to play Clemson.
If Bear has if I can get Bear, surely I can get anybody.
Well, Georgia opens up the season against Oregon in Atlanta on September 3rd.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cristobal Ball does leave. That Oregon job is a prime spot for somebody.
Talent's there.
Kiffin.
When Chip Kelly wants to go back. Kiffin ain't going to Oregon, is he?
I don't know why he'd leave Ole Miss, especially if he beats Alabama this year. They treat him like a god down there in Oxford.
I did find myself thinking that. It's like he could just kind of sit there. I mean, it does feel like there's a ceiling at Ole Miss that there isn't at even Florida State. Certainly LSU is a school that might be interested in a guy like him. But, I mean, he's got it made. It's almost like the Vitello factor, right? Like him, Lane Kiffin could just be the dude in Oxford, yeah, Mississippi for as long as he wants.
And with the way the money is now, I mean, money's no object for most power. It certainly isn't at Ole Miss.
All right,
Oxford's a nice place to live.
We have gone off on quite the tangent here on number one of the top 4 at 4. Please continue, Jake.
Number 2, Chicago Bears rookie quarterback Justin Fields will make his first career start Sunday as Andy Dalton is expected to be out with a left knee injury. Nick Foles will serve as Fields' backup Sunday against the Cleveland Browns.
I wonder if we'll see Nick Foles. That Chicago line's horrendous.
So you're saying Justin Fields is going to get hurt?
I mean, I saw him take a shot in the preseason that I was surprised he got up from. I mean, like I said, the Chicago offensive line's garbage.
And number three, more COVID issues are coming out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers camp, as it was revealed today that Antonio Brown is now on the COVID IR list. This makes the third member of the team to be put on that list, alongside Kevin Minter and somebody on the practice squad.
I'm sorry, who's that on the COVID list?
Antonio Brown.
Well, we knew this would be an issue. Did we ever find out what happened with our punter, Paxton Brooks? Is he actually hurt, or is he contact traced?
I didn't hear a thing about it.
We don't know. I mean, I'm sure that through three games, somebody has been COVIDed out of a game at some point.
Well, yeah, Tyon Evans.
We just don't. Well, yeah, Tyon Evans is the only one we ever really heard about.
He's the one we know about.
Surely there have been others. Like, I kind of hope that Paxton Brooks is just a COVID thing, just a one thing. Like, he just, his roommate got it or something, you know, and he couldn't play last week and he's back. I guess the walk-on who filled in for him did pretty good.
Did okay. And number four, former Vol Admiral Schofield's NBA career will continue on. Schofield has signed a deal with the Orlando Magic for the upcoming season. He was waived by the Oklahoma City Thunder back in December. Contract details are not available right now, but we do know he will wear number 25 in Orlando.
All right, good for Admiral. Hope he is able to stick there with the Magic. Thank you, Jake. That is the top four at four, brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. I got my email reminding me about my upcoming appointment today. I think that I've got that in 3 or 4 weeks. So do like I do and trust your smile to Knoxville Smiles. They do a great job there. The dentist visit is just a walk in the park, man. You just sit there and chill out. They've got the TV up there in front of you, and you just kind of zone out and let them do their thing. They get their scraping on and brushing on and all that stuff, and you walk out of there in 30, 45 minutes. A new man or woman, as the case may be. Schedule your appointment online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com or call 865-539-1776. For 25 years now, Dr. Steve Malone and company, nobody does it better than Knoxville Smiles. Our phone number, if you want to hop on the show, is 865-546-8200, 546-8200. What decade had the best cartoons? Your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. 52.3% of the audience says 90s. 38.4% say 80s. 9.3% say 70s. Now, I will say, this poll has got to be skewed, right? Because Twitter generally skews younger. And so I feel like most of my followers are probably Jake's age.
They're spitting the truth.
Well, they're going with – everybody just goes with whatever you grew up with is the truth, though, right?
Yeah.
Somebody, Smurfs, I forgot to mention Smurfs was a great, that's 80s, right?
Yes.
Smurfs was a great cartoon. Heathcliff, Inspector Gadget, The Muppet Babies. Oh! You ever watch Muppet Babies, Bear?
No.
Oh, it's the best.
I did watch Inspector Gadget.
Da-da-da-da-da, Inspector Gadget.
Dun, dun. But Danger Mouse, you watch Danger Mouse?
Oh, loved Danger Mouse. Banana Man. Those are like British cartoons that came on Nickelodeon for some reason.
Yeah.
Darkwing Duck.
I don't remember that one.
I am lost.
God, yes, you are. If you don't know about Darkwing Duck, yes, you are lost in life, Jake Miller.
Only ones that I know that you all mentioned were Bear when he mentioned the Jetsons.
You've never heard of the Smurfs?
I mean, I've heard of them. I never watched it.
You never heard of Thundercats?
No.
You never heard of Danger Mouse?
No.
Danger Mouse is a little obscure. I'm not terribly surprised that you haven't heard of that.
Which I was never a big cartoon guy growing up either.
You're not a cartoon guy. You're not a movie guy. What do, Jake? Like, what do you do for fun, for entertainment? Who raised you?
Campbell County. He's just sitting play with rocks.
I'm not.
him and Filet of Fish.
I'm not talking to. Hey, when I say who raised you, I'm not taking a pot shot at your family. I just said us 80s latchkey kids were raised by these cartoons. Like, what did you grow up on, man? This is how I learned to live through these TV shows.
I was raised and everybody in my family has either played or coached something. The videos I watched the most growing up were a Larry Bird VHS and Michael Jordan's playground. And then some Rugrats thrown in there, here and there.
Rugrats was pretty good.
And the greatest plays from John Ward.
Well, and for the 90s, I mean, you guys, I don't count The Simpsons. The Simpsons, I think, is maybe the most important and funny TV program of all time. But I don't really. I know it's technically a cartoon, but we're talking
it's
about cartoons.
Towards an
yeah, we're
older
talking about
audience.
Kids. Yeah. Let's get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here. TJ, you're on The Drive, Fan Run Radio.
Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
TJ, you sound like 100% better than the last time we talked to you.
Oh, man, I feel like 100% better. I went and, you know, military, you had to get your shot or get out, so I went and got my shot today. I'm feeling pretty good, you know. I got the COVID, and then I got the shot, so I think I can fight off anything that comes at me, you know what I'm saying, man?
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that the Army will make you get your COVID shot or get out? But I could fail a PT test for 5 straight years, and they refused to kick me out.
Bro, don't even start. I could go on that stuff for like 72.
Jake's plan to eat himself out of the Army never materialized, but he does have quite the belly to show for it.
Last time I checked, pretty much any time you guys, I mean, you sign up for the military, I mean, you guys get shots that nobody's ever heard of before.
Oh, dude, I've got over 30 vaccines in my body, so I don't care anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. That's the one thing that baffles me about all this, because I got a buddy who was in, actually two friends that were spec warfare operators, and both of them got shots that they referred to and were told when one was Plague A and one was Plague B, and they were never told anything other than that.
Usually they don't tell you anything. They just give it to you. It's like,
they just tell you to show up. So
you're taking this now.
I don't get where all the uproar is with the military about this one.
Please, let's
try to shot you guys full of stuff for ever.
The military has put worse into me. Let's just say that. Hey, so I don't know if you've ever been, Bryce Williams Stadium. Me and the son are actually going to the Kentucky-South Carolina game this Saturday in Columbia, since we live like an hour and a half from Columbia. Have you guys ever been there?
Yeah, I've been there several times. You'll like it, man. It's a good atmosphere, and I would imagine, you know, I don't know how South Carolina fans, they're having a rough season, but Kentucky's pretty good this year. That sounds like it'd be a pretty competitive game. And
I enjoyed going down there.
Yeah, it's a fun time. It's on a kind of a real flat area, state fairgrounds, good atmosphere, pregame. You walk around and tailgate and all that stuff. And it's bigger than you would think for a team that's just had so little success through the years. They have a nice place.
It's just kind of unique. You know, it's kind of different, kind of unique stadium. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Second topic real quick, and then I'll get off. So we got all the conference alignments, you know, the allegiance or whatever they're wanting to do, and then, you know, Texas, Oklahoma coming over here. As far as the SEC goes, what do you think about this? Move Alabama and Auburn to the east and have Texas and Oklahoma just go to the west and leave it at that.
That's been my that was my suggestion from the start, because that way it forces Georgia and Florida. It just makes it more fair. I mean, either that or get Alabama off our schedule.
I would rather have that, TJ, than the 14 pods. To me, though, if you're going to do that, I think the way to do it is you have the two 8-team divisions. So you play everybody in your division. There's 7 games. I think you go to a 10-game conference schedule. And no permanent opponents. I think you just rotate all three of them and as much as possible. They probably won't do that because you got to have a tradition, you know. But that's the way I would do it.
Yeah, I like that too. I saw Kentucky's schedule next year, and I think usually we play you guys later in November.
Yeah, that's weird. We play.
Yeah, next year it's like we play you guys in like October or something like that, like really early.
I think it's Halloween weekend.
Yeah. Well, hey. Good luck this weekend, and y'all hang in there, man.
Thank you, TJ. Great hearing from you this afternoon. when we continue. Lucas Panzeca from 104.5 The Zone in Nashville joins the festivities. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The drum.
Welcome back. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear Jake back with you on the drive. Let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Check in with Lucas Panzeca of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. LP, what's going on?
Gentlemen, not a whole lot. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. My ESPN Plus stream of the Chelsea-Aston Villa League Cup game has crapped out. I'm kind of...
What's the score on that?
It's tied at one in like the 70th minute. It's an amazing game.
I was saying yesterday, last night on the soccer show, I think Chelsea looks like the most complete team in the Premier League right now, top to bottom.
They got it going on. They got their B team playing today, but it's good. It's good times right now. How are things with you, man?
Good. Just got off the air and flipped on the Milan game, so I'm like you. Just trying to squeeze this in the middle of everything else, but things are cranking up, you know. I mean, the positivity is back flowing through Nashville after Sunday. It's Gators week. The whole thing today was about kind of how that Alabama-Florida game sort of shifted our perspective of the college football landscape. I don't know if it did for a lot of people, but maybe we'll find out if there's any kind of letdown after Florida almost took down Bama last weekend.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I think both teams are pretty good, and Bama is not as good right now as they were at the end of last season, but you see it there. I mean, that quarterback, I mean, to go in there on – was that his first road start, probably his first true road start? And to go into the swamp against those guys and gut out a win, I mean, that's impressive. I think they're probably going to be fine, but – yeah, I mean, Florida plays well. If you're a Tennessee fan, that's not what you wanted to see going into this week.
And Bama always has that one, like, get-right game, right? Like, where they maybe some weaknesses are exposed a little bit when you think last year to that Ole Miss game, where it was just whoever has the ball last scores. Basically, they were getting absolutely shredded, especially over the middle of the field. And then the defense clamps down after that game. They cruise to a national title, and they have the number one scoring defense in the SEC after that, where they looked incredibly exposed in Oxford last season. So these things don't linger for Alabama. Now, for Florida, it's amazing how the narrative has flipped for them offensively, where last season you couldn't name a running back on that roster because they're flinging it around so much with the personnel they had now in the NFL and Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts, and Kadarius Toney. But now it's all about the running game. They've got a pair of running quarterbacks. I think Anthony Richardson should terrify Tennessee fans this weekend. They didn't get a chance to see it. You know, maybe that two-point conversion goes differently if Anthony Richardson is in at quarterback for Florida last week. So, you know, credit to Dan Mullen for just flipping the way this offense plays based on the personnel that he has. And they're the best rushing attack in the SEC right now. I feel like it's just going to come down to that on Saturday.
No doubt about it. It's we'd say it's going to come down to that. I mean, Florida's they're a 20-point favorite. I know what you're saying, Lucas.
There's a few factors.
Yeah, I mean, Bear charted his path to victory yesterday, and basically it's like Joe Milton plays out of his mind and the defense steps up. I mean, it's you've got a prayer, but not much more than that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. There's a lot that has to go right. I mean, Joe Milton cannot afford – Little to no mistakes are all Tennessee can afford at the quarterback position. You miss one or two of those open deep shots that you've missed over the course of the first couple weeks of the season, and you don't give yourself a chance, in my mind. And think about this. Alabama's offense had three possessions in the second half of that game on Saturday. They had three total series. Florida's best defense was its offense, keeping the ball away from the Tide. Well, with Tennessee's quick strike, up-tempo offense, we know, right, when things are good, they're flying down the field, they're scoring points. But when things are bad, that means real quick three and outs. So if they're not able to stay on the field offensively, this thing's going to be over in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the nightmare scenario is three and out, punt it back to Florida, and just one of those just gut-wrenching 80-yard drives, you know, that takes – 9 minutes off the clock and you just can't stop it and get off the field. What do you think about the quarterback situation, Lucas? You go in here and Hooker played okay. You know, Milton has not played great, but you see the potential there, but he just can't complete those throws. What do you do if you're Josh Heupel this weekend?
Oh, I guess I'm putting a bunch of pros and cons list up on a whiteboard between the two. I think it's clear Harrison Bailey's QB3, right? I mean, that's completely evident to this point. So the conversation is totally whittled down to Hooker versus Milton. So I don't know. I mean, what are the pros with Joe Milton? You have a big, physical, powerful guy with an absolute rocket arm. Maybe he takes care of the ball a little bit better. One thing I don't think you can say about Milton is that he was putting the football in really bad spots, whether he was carrying it, forcing the ball downfield or whatever. But I don't think he's as natural a runner as Hendon Hooker. Hooker looks more like a Josh Dobbs type, a little more of a natural fluidity kind of running style than Milton has as a big physical running quarterback. And Hooker can make the throws. I think he has a bigger arm than people give him credit for, but I just think he's a little looser with the football, like you saw in a couple of his fumbles and on that interception late against Pittsburgh. So to be honest with you, I think the staff goes with Milton just because he was their guy from the start. But I think it's pretty even. I don't think Tennessee really has a very good option there, regardless of who you trot out there. So with that said, I think they're going to bring in Milton because that's the guy that this staff kind of went out on a limb for. And they're going to give him every opportunity. So I don't think Hooker didn't. I mean, did anybody walk away from the Tennessee Tech game, even in a 56-0 win, saying, boom, he's our guy? I'm sure some people did, but if that was the case, I feel like you're probably trying to convince yourself to an extent. I think we see Milton on Saturday.
I am with you there as we visit Lucas Panzeca, 104.5 The Zone, on the G3 Help Me Hotlines this afternoon. And let's talk about Nashville for a second, Lucas. That was some win by the Titans as they had to come back a couple of times. It just kept grinding. Classic Titans, Mike Vrabel grinded out type of game. And you go from, oh, man, Titans going to start 0-2, Colts coming in. This is not good times to, okay, big favorite this week. And you just came off a really great win, putting some things together. How has the mood shifted in Music City?
Oh my God, it's done a complete 180, Russell. It was meltdown Monday.
So we're back. Ago. We're back to making Super Bowl reservations now.
Right back to it. Yeah, it was. And look, rightfully so. They were awful against Arizona. Like all three levels. There was not a maybe. You know, if you had to really force yourself to see a bright spot, Christian Fulton played well in that game. And he played really well in Seattle. DK Metcalf was throwing fists on the sideline. I mean, the dude had a pacifier for his mouth guard, and it was completely fitting of how he was kind of acting with the frustration going up against Fulton. But, it was a very on-brand Mike Vrabel win. This team's now 8-0 in the Mike Vrabel era, the week after a double-digit loss. And this team had about 40 rush yards at halftime, and they finished the game with Derrick Henry running the ball for 182 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, what other football team can claw out of a hole like that completely on the back of its running game? I cannot think of another football team in the modern era that is capable of doing that. But the Titans kind of have that luxury with Derrick Henry, and it takes a lot of frustration to get to that point. It takes a lot of the 1 to -1 to 2 yard carries on first and second down for him to really grind down defense and get going and find his rhythm. He's very much a rhythm runner, but once he gets going, I think that was one of the best games of his career on Sunday. His career high in catches was 6, 55 yards on the little dump off, a career high in carries with 35. And then obviously the 3 touchdowns, almost 200 yards rushing. So I think we saw what this team can be defensively. You had a lot to be encouraged by with this defensive line. They've been able to get pressure, which was really by far the biggest question mark in 2020. They weren't able to get to the quarterback, arguably the worst team in the SEC in the NFL, in that sense. But they've been able to get pressure in the first 2 weeks. They've just played probably the two best scrambling quarterbacks in the NFL. So I think you're encouraged by that. There's obviously some things to clean up on the back end, a huge busted coverage that led to a 68-yard touchdown late in the second half by the Seahawks. Otherwise, I was amazed at this defense, Russell. The offense kind of came alive and did what we expected it to do, besides the A.J. Brown drops. But this defense, I mean, you give Russell Wilson 2 shots. You give Russell Wilson 2 shots in the fourth quarter and in overtime to drive down the field and beat you. And he wasn't able to do it both times. This is a guy whose career is built around being able to cook at the right times and one of the best overtime fourth quarter comeback quarterbacks in the modern history of the NFL. So for me, it was all about the defense and the way that they played to dig the Titans out of a hole on Sunday. That should be the most encouraging thing about that win.
I'm using the Titans and Chelsea to get me through this week, Lucas, because as a Tennessee Vol fan,
the long one.
This has been difficult at times. I'm not going to lie, but we've even resorted this before you came on. We were having a major debate between what decade had the best children's cartoons growing up, and we've all retreated to our corners. Bear going with the 70s, me going with the 80s, Jake going with the 90s. It's anything to distract ourselves from what seems to be inevitable on Saturday.
Well, that's one thing. You guys, like, you and Bear have that luxury of going back, you know, that far when it comes to picking out the best cartoons, kid cartoons. You also have the luxury of going back. What's your favorite decade of Tennessee football? You know, guys like me, we don't have that luxury on what's your favorite decade of Tennessee football, because my options are basically, let's see, when did I become really conscious about Tennessee football? 2005? Hadn't been all that great since then. So I guess 05 to 2015 is my favorite decade of Tennessee football, if that tells you anything about my options in that sense. So my cartoon options aren't all that great either.
I think I've told you this before, Luke. Like, you guys, you younger guys amaze me. The guys that when they come into the station and they're 19, 20 years old doing an internship, whatever, and they're big Tennessee fans, it blows me away. And I just want this program to get better so badly, not just, you know, from self-interest standpoint, although it would be nice to be able to talk about a winner again, but I really want you guys to experience, I want my kids to be able to experience it and not look at me like, why do you root for these losers all the time? I want you to have that experience of what it was like. The 90s was the only answer to your question, by the way. It was a great time, and I want you and Jake Miller and all the rest of the 20-somethings listening out there right now to be able to experience it.
Yeah, Jake and I do not have that luxury. I guess you really get affected by your most formative years, right, which I guess would be kind of like middle school as far as sports fandom goes. For me, it's middle school. And those middle school years, I was in sixth grade in 2007 when Tennessee was last in the SEC championship game. And I cried after that game. I cried after the LSU loss with the pick six, 21-14. I remember the score and everything. I was so devastated by that. Little did I know, obviously. But, you know, so I had that one year when I was really young, really impressionable, and that sort of bought me in for a lifetime. Kids growing up now, I have no idea what you have to hang on to. No idea. Like, what do they have? Two seasons of Butch Jones where you beat Georgia and you beat Florida once. That's it. That's all they have, like three games. I don't know if that would have been enough for me in middle school. You know, I had Ramon Foster and Arian Foster and, you know, Eric Berry. I don't know. It was only one season, but it was enough to keep me pinned for an entire lifetime. That is the thing. I don't know, possibly know how kids growing up now can have anything to keep them pinned for an entire lifetime, and more power to them if they do. I don't know how it's possible.
Lucas Panzeca, we love you, buddy. Thanks for jumping on the show. Keep things locked down there in Nashville. We will do it again soon, my friend.
Yes, we will. Talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Worldwide Panzeca. It's widespread Panzeca. Why do I always want to say worldwide? Makes him sound fat.
I have no idea.
It's widespread Panzeca. You coined that.
Yeah.
Just start writing it down.
I think we coined that one at the first Pruitt. The first spring game when Pruitt got pissed because only 70,000 people showed up or whatever it was.
Oh, Jeremy Pruitt. More people were at that spring game than were at the Tennessee Tech game over the weekend. I shouldn't do that. We need to be positive right now. I'm being told I'm being too negative right now. We'll turn over a new leaf. We do need to talk about this ticket situation and try and make some sense of that. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come right back. More of your phone calls on the way as well. You're listening to The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. More about the different possibilities as far as investing goes, saving for retirement, and whatever else is on your mind. It's never too soon, and it's never too late to start planning the perfect retirement. Talk to Les Turner at Right Approach Financial, 865-498-3047. Give him a call. Tell him I sent you. He will take great care of you, 865-498-3047. He's online at rightapproachfinancial.com. So, big announcement today from the university. as they put this up at utsports.com, and I think you're going to hear more about this in the days and weeks to come, as Tennessee Athletics has finalized plans to implement a more simplified and modernized football ticket purchasing process beginning with the 2022 season. The impending changes stem from several months of thoughtful analysis and consideration of fan feedback, including requests to create a more equitable and affordable pricing model throughout Neyland Stadium. Similar fan input led to the development of multiple new and exciting fan experience amenities and renovations set to debut next season. Many season ticket holders beginning in the fall of 2022 will experience a price reduction, Bear.
Fantastic. I feel like there's a butt coming.
Well, Danny
Jordan
White.
Rattlers over there, yeah. Between D and R going to get hit up a little bit more?
Well, I don't know all the ins and outs, and I will not profess to be any sort of authority on this topic. But what I do know is this. Danny White is not in the business of revenue reduction. He's not in the business of taking less money, okay? He's trying to get more money. And that's what will be his goal here, and that's what will probably be the end result of this. Although, I don't know. But access to season tickets also will be expanded to more of the Tennessee fan base, as some areas within Neyland Stadium will not require an annual donation. These no-donation areas create a pathway for a new generation of Tennessee fans to experience the unmatched pageantry of game day on Rocky Top. Under this new and more equitable model, ticket holders seated in the same section of Neyland Stadium all will be paying the same fair amount. And apparently this has been the thing, Bears. Because of all the different deals they've had throughout the years with different athletics directors, you've got a situation now where it's all piecemealed together, and you've got some sections and good sections of the stadium where you've got guys in the same section who paid completely different donations. You know, you could have the guy next to you could have made like a $5,000 donation and you only had to donate $250 because you bought your tickets 2 years ago when the team sucked and they were desperate to sell those tickets, right?
Right.
Which I totally get. If I'm the guy who made the $5,000 donation, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah, but what about the people I'm sure there's a ton of people that are grandfathered in because they've been supporting the university. Some people, you know, like my family tickets go back 60 years.
I don't know. Well, I mean, you would be a great person to ask. I mean, you let us know what they tell you and your family about those tickets, because, I mean, the cynic in me wants to think, well, they're going to find a way to just get rid of all that. And, I mean, you got those tickets through your father who worked at the university for a long time?
Yeah.
And he's since passed on, but those tickets were able. You and what your siblings are able to inherit those, basically.
Well, I mean, Mama Bear, and then
can she pass them on to you?
Yes, I believe so. So actually, it kind of a twisted story. So after my old man passed away when I was young, stepdad. I wouldn't say he was being a jerk, but he's being a jerk and let the family tickets go back. And then my younger brother, it took him several years, but he finally, he wrote a letter to Fulmer, and then boom, I don't know if,
he was able to get them back.
Yeah. I read the letter, but all of a sudden, like, we started getting our tickets again, and I think there's one row different, same section, basically same seat, same families. We've been sitting around forever, in the south end zone. But I mean, we're not talking about like section R row 40 or, you know, D. For a lot of people, it's, you know, you want to keep those tickets. I mean, you've been going to the games and seeing the same families forever.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was like this when you were there. Do you remember when we were, when I was there, like student section was also in like section D. It's like primo seats.
Well, I understand where Danny White is coming from and that you want to maximize your revenue streams, right?
Sure. And, I mean, this day and age.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see. I would love to hear the follow-up, like what they tell you guys about your tickets. Affected account holders will receive an email on Wednesday, September 22nd, with details specific to their seats. And throughout the coming weeks, Tennessee Athletic staff will proactively reach out to affected account holders to talk through these changes and discuss options. I'd imagine some of those people will it's always pleasant when you deal with a phone call from the folks at good old UT, yeah. But what I've consistently heard for months now, Bear, is that part of the West Stands renovation, where they're going to basically turn the first 10 or so rows of the on the west sideline into club seats, and then the upper deck in the north end zone where they're installing that new video board and going to turn that into a patio kind of party area or whatever, that the people who have had seats there for a long time are obviously, you know, they're not just going to have access to those areas for whatever they've been paying, because the entire right. point of having those areas is to be able to charge more. But in some cases, you're going to be telling people, particularly on that west sideline, who've had tickets like your family for generations, hey, if you want to keep this ticket, you're going to have to pay a lot more for it. And that will inevitably lead to some hurt feelings. It just will.
Yeah, I mean, we never got – I mean, I know the deal that we've got now is pales. And, I mean, pales in comparison to the original deal. But, again, my dad was – you know, he was a faculty. You know, he was a professor over there. And, I mean, they got a hell of a deal on season tickets back then.
Which, I mean, like – I don't want to be insensitive here, but should we really expect Danny White to honor deals that were cut for people a long, long time ago, people who in many cases have long since passed on, and you've got a deal where the donation is very minimal for really good seats in Neyland Stadium? I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, that's a tough one, because a lot of these deals, like, had my crazy stepfather not given our tickets back, we'd still be on the original deal. And I mean, even I would say, it was a little bit, you know, I mean, it's not 1962 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And prices have kind of gone up. So
yeah, like a $500 net donation back then was a huge chunk of money.
Whereas, well, yeah, I don't even think
high roller like you, Bear, probably got that in your couch, right?
Yeah, sure, Russ. That was the thing. I know he did. The old man did donate every year. But he never, I don't think we had to retain those tickets. I'm pretty sure that was, this is all real hazy to me, but I think that was part of the deal. If you're a faculty member, there were a few perks to being, you know, a faculty member, as there should be.
So the other thing, the other big thing here is they are revoking the so-called umbrella privileges, where in the past, if you made a big enough donation for your football tickets, you had automatic rights to tickets in basketball and baseball and other sports like that. And they're saying, no, you can't do that anymore. You have to, if you're going to, you want those basketball tickets, those baseball tickets, you have to provide a specific donation for those as well.
That's completely understandable, especially considering right now that our baseball and basketball programs are, I mean, they're premier. They're the top tier nationally. I mean, our baseball team just coming off World Series appearance. And on top of that, we're talking about, you know, a huge financial undertaking to get the
I'll be interested to hear what fans have to say about it. I mean, it's easy for us to sit here. I don't pay for tickets. I do in voluntary reaction. I just don't get to go to a lot of games, but I know there are a lot of people listening here who will be affected by this. Would love to hear from you. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with your phone calls after this. Well, here's one. At Battered Vol says, I'm grandfathered and have no problem. A lot of us have been getting a nice ride for a long time. If it means more people can afford it, I have no problem with it. Well, good for you, man. I hope most people have that. Don't know that they will, but I hope most people feel that way. And I do wonder, it's my read of this, Bear, is that Danny White and the new regime over there feel like there are a lot of potential new donors out there that they just want to have something that's uniform, right? It seems like everybody's got this deal. Oh, this guy cut this deal back in 1974. This guy cut this deal in 1986. This guy cut, you know, there's all this stuff going on. They all, look, it's 2021. We're not starting over. Like, you still have the rights to buy your seats, but this is what it's going to be. All the tickets in this section are going to require this donation, and then they're going to cost this much. And all the tickets in this section,
the main ones,
you know, and just go through the entire stadium, right? That, which I get that.
I mean, that's just, I do too. And I mean, the main ones I think that are going to be really affected are obviously the seats between the 30s, lower deck. And I think that's like what Q through maybe U or whatever, you know, between the 30s mm-hmm. and the lower deck. And a lot of those tickets have been, you know, grandfathered in family tickets for people going all the way back. I know, you know, our tickets have been our family 60 years. I mean, there's some families I'm sure have been longer.
I just, I feel, I guess the timing is weird to me. And I don't want to be the guy that complains about everything, but to me, I would want to announce this before the season when you've got when everybody's as excited as they're going to be, right? And then if you lose a game like you do against Pitt, people are talking about the lost game. Nobody's talking about this because the news cycle's over. Nobody will be talking about this in a couple of days, right?
Right.
So it seems strange. Maybe they wanted to and they just didn't have all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed. But we'll see. Big news today on the ticket front. Would love to hear from some callers on this. 865.
I'm reading it right now. Five. Yeah, I mean, it's what I thought. R through W.
See, I don't know what all that means.
It's the premium seats behind the Tennessee bench.
It's all I could do to keep the north-south thing straight in my mind. I have to think about that every time I say it. It's like, oh, which one is which?
South Jumbotron, North No Jumbotron. So
I think of it, south points towards the river in my mind. That's how I remember it.
Yeah.
But I have no clue what the actual sections are.
Yeah, like Houston Crest just sent me a communique. He says, you know, his are grandfathered in, south end zone, won't say where. His total cost is going up $200. He's saying no big deal, but the timing is very suspect. I would agree. You know, they don't have the best. That's the whole thing, Russ. And that's why we've said it once here on the drive, Russ.
PR.
We've said it 1,000 times. Yeah. Hire the PR firm of the drive with Russell, Bear, and Jake, and we can get you through a lot of this stuff. Nobody knows PR like me and you, Russ.
I would have announced it like a week before the season started. And everybody's so excited about Joe Milton and the new coach and all that stuff at that point. We all think we're going to be awesome. People are drinking that 8-4 Kool-Aid. And if anybody's upset about it, which I don't know if anybody is, but if anybody is upset about it, it'll just be like, oh, okay, now we play football. You announce it now where people are still a little bit shook over the Pitt loss and people are dreading the Florida game.
Wednesday of Florida week after they played Alabama. Probably should have beaten Alabama. Down in, then we're going to Gainesville.
And well, you're going to get the subculture of our fan base that does love to complain about everything.
Which there are many.
We'll find a way to spin this as Danny White and the new boys screwing over Tennessee fans.
Jamie's not called in yet.
Give him time. We still got about another hour.
excuse me, folks, coming up Friday, we will be live at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. Super excited about this one. It is a six-hour fan-run remote, Talk Sports and The Drive, live at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. We would love for you to come out and see us. We know we got a lot of listeners up Sevierville way, and we rarely, once or twice a year, get up out there. And we will be there again on Friday from noon to 6. So come on out and see us there in the Pigeon Forge Factory Outlet Mall. And they're going to have some specials. They got an all-day tailgate thing going on Saturday with some special prices. I think 50-cent wings. What did I say? $2 pints, $10.99, 12-inch pizzas with two toppings. Their pizza up there is just like they do it right. It's good stuff, man. And you got the axe throwing, so I'm sure we'll come up with some sort of Talk Sports versus The Drive axe throwing challenge. And
feel like I could totally dominate you in an axe throwing contest.
Well, I mean,
you're about to go 0-2, Russ.
0-2 on what?
I'm going to stomp you in tennis. Bear's going to stomp you in axe throwing.
Listen, Jake, I understand you're new around here, Jake. You don't understand. We have this tradition. Bear loves to challenge me to physical things. It's been going on for 5 years now. He's made at least 50, I will conservatively estimate, physical challenges. Oh, I can do this better than you. I do that better than you. Not once. Not once.
Challenge you did on that rinky-dink goal.
Not once has he ever followed through on any sort of challenge. Not once. The next time Bear actually shows up for a physical challenge and says, I will do this better than you, let's do it, we'll be the first.
So are we playing tennis on Monday?
I think I can arrange that. We will play tennis, and you will probably beat me, but I will show up. I will be there.
He said you wouldn't win a game against him. Here's what I want to see is his ass wrote a check, or his mouth wrote a check that his ass can't cash. He's challenged station owner Nate Hodges to a game of tennis.
I did not challenge Nate Hodges.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
And you said you could whip him.
I did not say that.
And now I think you may have done a little bit of research now, and you realize that he is apparently
they're both
the only
like, I don't know who I would take in that. I mean, like, they're remarkably similar, Jake and Nate. Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up. More Fan Run Radio on the way.